Fantastic. Thanks, Ron, for reading that to us. So, my task this morning is to try and expound a little bit more on this letter to the Colossians. Now, it was a letter. Paul, boy, what a letter writer he was. You know, if a letter came from Paul in the post to you, you'd probably have to pay extra postage, because it was extra thick, quite thick. But what Paul was actually always trying to explain the teaching of Jesus. The things that Jesus said, he didn't replace it, he didn't add to it, instead he tried to explain what Jesus was talking about.
Right.
Now, this letter to Colossians, the name of the town, was actually in Asia, part of Turkey today. And it was a Roman province. And it had been once a thriving town, but was on the decline when this letter was written. And it was a strange mixture of people that lived there. You had rich, you had poor, you had people from different parts of the world, all in this one mix. And with them, they brought all along different philosophies and ways of living. And that included things like emperor worship, angel worship, a real hodgepodge of religions and philosophies. And Paul was trying to say to the Christians, hold on guys, hold on, right? You're living in this world of a mixture of things, but there are some things that are important. There are some things that are true. In Colossians 1, which I think you did last week, there, Colossians 1, Paul emphasized that Jesus was in the image of God. He was God come down. That he was the head of the church. He was the creator, a sustainer of all things. And that through Jesus, someone could be reconciled, come back in contact with God. That was the subject of Colossians 1. And Colossians 2, in a nutshell, Paul continues and he says, look, Christ is all sufficient. We don't need anybody else other than Christ in our lives.
Right.
Because in him, we know the forgiveness of sins. With him, we have all power. But what does that actually mean in today's world? You know, sometimes we read the words of the Bible and we go, oh man, yes, I've got all power in Christ. Yes, all I spoke. Then we go out there and we're thinking, well, maybe life isn't quite what I want it to be. You know, maybe. So what is it? And so that's what we're going to have a look at. You know, we live in a world, if you didn't know, that is desperately trying to seek the truth. The trouble is, there are many different versions of the truth out there. You know, for Putin, he believes the truth that the only way Russia can be safe is to conquer Ukraine. That's what he believes is the truth, and that's why he does it. If you talk to President Trump, he believes that only by eliminating diversity, getting rid of all the illegal immigrants, can America become great again. That's his truth. That's what he believes. Of course, we're sitting here thinking, well, we don't believe that's the truth. Near our home, we have all sorts of different political parties that spread half-truths, or they use half-truths and use misinformation to say, you know, only their way is the best way. You know, we need to get rid of the illegal immigrants. That's what we've got to do, because our world would be so much better if that was the case. And the trouble is that if anybody objects to their ways and their thoughts, they're part of the problem. Do you ever see that happening?
Yeah.
Oh, who would be a politician, eh? The trouble is that sometimes we're no better. In that we believe if only everybody was like us, if only everybody came to church on a Sunday, wore a suit, almost a suit, okay? If only they prayed every day, if only they were like us, it would be so much better. But is that the truth? Is that the truth? Do we believe that the way that we live is the way to true contentment and happiness? We've been singing about some of that in our songs.
Yeah.
But is that true? Can we go home and say, do you know what? I'm absolutely contented. I'm so happy in my life. I don't need anything more. I guess if you're a bit like me, you're thinking, hold on, something isn't quite lining up here. But into all this, Colossians 2 gives us an answer. Now, Colossians isn't based, as I said earlier, on Paul's ideas. It's actually based around the teaching of Jesus. And in some ways, you can sum up Colossians 2 in what Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Colossians 2 is an exposition of that statement. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus, because Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And he goes on to say that we should be rooted in Christ. In verse 6, in the version I've got here, it says then, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus Lord, continue to live your life in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened with the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. This message of Colossians has four teachings I'm going to show to you. First one is this: be rooted in Christ. But what does that mean? Paul emphasized that only true knowledge and wisdom are found in Christ, and not in philosophy, not in politicians, not in what social media tells us. It's only in Christ. I.e., in everything that we say, in everything that we do, in everything we are, should actually come from the life of Christ. Yeah. It should come from the way that he lived, the way he went, the truth he expounded. It should come from that, and rather than what people tell us. The second lesson we find is that we're not to be swayed by empty ideas. That's verse 8. Verse 8 says this: see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow or deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. If you go into any library or over any magazine, there are 101 different self-help books. How to be richer, how to be stronger, how to be famous. All these self-help books. How to get in, how to improve your spiritual life, how to have a better prayer life, how to understand life. All these different books, there's tens of thousands of them out there of how to be better in what we do. And some are even have good ideas in them. But unless they're based completely on Christ and his truth and what he taught, then they're not really worth anything. In Matthew 5, Jesus said this. When Jesus was talking about the way that we should live and the way we should react to events every day, he made it clear that our lives would be characterized, and I'm going to paraphrase Matthew 5 and 6 now, but he said, our life will be characterized by one of compassion, humility, mercy, righteousness. We would show love for our enemies. We'd be forgiving others. We'd be turning the other cheek. We'll be giving to the needy. We'll be praying and we'll be fasting. I wonder in my life, when I'm confronted with anything, is that my reaction? When someone attacks me, do I want to turn the other cheek? When I hear about all the different things that may be illegal, do I have mercy? Do I have compassion? You know, Jesus said that you'll know who's my disciples by the fact that I show love for one another. And you know, our country faces all sorts of challenges, but is our reaction one of mercy? Is it of compassion? Because without that, I wonder, by the way, in all these self-help books, whether or not they will come to the same conclusion. The way to get ahead in life is to be compassionate, is to be merciful, is to turn the other cheek. I wonder. Third chapter, third teaching, is it says, rest in what Christ has already done. Verse 10, in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. What about that? Christ, our Saviour, the one who lives inside of us, is what? He is head over every power, over every authority. And God made us alive with Christ. He forgave our sins. In our church many years ago, our church is based in quite a rough area of Gravesend. And it's the kind of area where the police go down in twos. Two cars, right? And I used to do a lot of canvassing down there, you know, inviting me to church there, and I was always a bit worried because I did get beaten up, I understand now. But I knew that the guy in the state, his name was Stevie Lifton. Don't remember Stevie Lifton. Stevie Lifton was a prize fighter, bare knuckle fighter, right? His neck was the size of his shoulders, all right? He was strong. And do you know what? When I used to walk around that area with Stevie Lifton, do you know what? No one was going to attack him. Absolutely no one. And I felt strong and bold. Do you know what? I have the God of the universe inside me.
Amen.
When I walk around, when you walk around, you have God of the universe with you. How does that make you feel? Yeah. I wonder how many of us are worried about what's going on in the world today. When we hear the rumours of wars and what may happen. The thing is that we worry about these things. And yet God said, I'm going to look after you. I will be with you. I will guide you. Jesus said that he was the way. He was the truth. And he is the life. And we're not to fear. In fact, later on in that chapter, in Matthew 5, he goes on to say, don't worry. Yeah. Don't fear what's going on, because God is always in control. He is always in control.
Yeah.
Nothing happens in this world that is a surprise to God. When Putin invades, whatever he does, and things like that, God knew about it. He knows about it. He also knows what he's going to do about it. And sometimes we're like, oh Lord, you need to do this, you need... God said, I've already got it in hand. I've got a plan. I am carrying it out. We live in a broken world. But I promise I am going to be with you and I will bring you through.
Yeah.
We do not need to worry. Easier said than done, I know that. You know, as I've got older in my life, I can now look back in my life and say, yeah, my life was all planned out. Why did I worry about my job? It's easy in hindsight, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But one day we're going to be in eternity and we're going to look back and say, Lord, if only I trusted you more, if only I believed in your word. All we need to do is live in him. And we need to live in his ways, which is caring for those who are less able. And the final teaching that we get from this Colossians 2 is this. Don't let others judge you. How many times have people come up to you and said, do you know what? You know what you should be doing? Alright, you need to come and support my ministry. Alright? Because my ministry is the most important one in the world. Alright? Unless you're supporting my ministry, you're not really call yourself a Christian for doing that. Verse 16 in Colossians 2 says, don't let anyone judge you by what you eat, what you drink, or with regard to any religious festival. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual force of this world, why then do you still belong to the world? Do you submit to its rules? Don't measure yourself with how other people walk in Christ. Okay? God has called them to do something, that's fine. But what's he called you to? What's he called me to? You know, he's absolutely interested in me, in you, Beth, as a person, with you, Esther, as a person. Sometimes we tend to rank people and we group people with other groups. And God said, no, I treat you as an individual.
That's right.
There are things I've called you to do that people don't know about. Don't be persuaded by what other people tell you you should be doing. But it's important, though, that we ask the Holy Spirit, we ask God each and every day, Lord, what is it you're calling me to do today? He's calling you. There we are.
I'll tell you what he says.
You know, there are many churches that believe in keeping rituals is the way that you measure spiritual health. By attendance at the prayer meeting, attendance at the Bible study. By the way, these are all good things to do. But in the end, it's what is our personal standing with our Heavenly Father? What is that relationship like? Is it estranged? Or is it one of a family, you know, a close family? Yeah, I talk to them all the time, you know. How is that with us? In summary, Colossians 2 tells us that in Christ, as we live in him, it's all sufficient. And as we live him, it's how we come to know the joy of the Lord. Was it in John 10, Jesus said, I have come to give you life, and that you might have it, what? More abundantly. As Christians, I talk to myself here, okay, I should be living a life that, wow, it's the best. Okay, the world might say, yes, but you're driving a second-hand car and you've got dodgy clothes on and things like that. But it's not what counts. What counts is that relationship I have with God each and every day. And I don't know about you, but if you've found you've become estranged, God's looking for you. I saw someone with a shirt that on saying, I'm one of the 99. It was you, wasn't it?
No, mum's wearing it.
And so, even just right now, actually, let's just close our eyes, shall we?
Yeah.
Right now, why don't we just, in our hearts, just reach out to him and say, Lord, just re-enter my life again. Father, let me know that you are God who is all-powerful. Just pray right now, Father, take away every fear and every doubt I might have about what's going on in this world, and know that you are in control. Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us right now would know that renewed relationship back with you, Father.
Mm, yeah.
That, Lord, we would be directed by you, that our conversations, our social media posts, Lord, will be absolutely characterized by the life of Christ.
Yeah.
It'll be compassionate. It'll be forgiving. Lord, let us help, and help us to feel your presence each and every day, Lord, and feel the joy, Lord, that only comes from you. Because we ask this in your holy name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.